The breach is limited to the information which the client posted on social media. So the attorney has the ability to talk about that particular information, but that it wasn't a complete breach.
I would argue that unless the client says it's okay for you to talk about it, even though the client has talked about it, you shouldn't comment on it. That'd be my opinion.
That's a different issue, and I agree with you.
Okay, so how many of you tell your clients not to post anything on social media about your conversation? How many of you do that? One? Just one? How many of you are going to do it now? You know, because I can see, you know, on Facebook, well, I just talked to the lawyer, and the lawyer said that my sister was completely wrong, and I have a great case, and I'm going to win, and she did this. And then maybe you're defending the client in a defamation action.
What if you
don't
use social
media? Since Brynn
has
already set the precedent of asking questions, can I ask a question about
ask,
this?
Ask away.
So do we have a legal obligation to tell our clients as they are engaging us that if they communicate our conversations to third parties, they may be waiving attorney-client privilege and our and we can't keep it confidential anymore. Do we have an affirmative obligation to tell them that up front?
I think you have an obligation to tell your clients, and let me preface this with a question. In the initial conversation, the initial interview, how many of you discussed confidentiality with your clients? Right? I mean, and I know that I'm not out in the trenches doing it like you guys, but I always tell the students that in that first interview, they should explain client-attorney confidentiality and what it means and what the exceptions are. And I think that you should also, at some point, even if it's at the end of the interview, explain to the client about disclosing information through their actions, including social media. You can do it under the don't make things worse scenario, because they will blab and make things worse. But I think it's with the way that social media is all over the place these days, and people just seem to want to share everything, that it's prudent to ask them if they use social media that they caution them against telling anything. Do you do that? No?
Never occurs to me. I don't have a Twitter account. I don't. But I don't think that there's an affirmative duty.
So this is not exactly the same thing, but one thing we've started to do is caution people when they give us their email addresses is to make sure that we say, you know, if you're giving us a work email address,
that's
something you may not want to do because if, you know, your agreement with your employer is that they're monitoring your work email address, you
absolutely
may not want to
and that's
have
really
this stuff go there.
That's really important. And see, that's like 1.01 comment 8 again. Why we have to have competence in the idea of the use of legal tech.
You like these numbers.
A more common scenario is that they just bring their kids and their kids' wives and everybody else to all the meetings.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right.
And then
you're
tweeting
it
out as you talk to them.
Right. And you have to make a decision about whether you're letting those people in the way come into the conference with you or you keep them out. And by the way, how many of you used the brochure from the American Bar Association, Commission on Law and Aging, the four C's of elder law, why am I left in the waiting room? And do you find that helpful?
Yes.
Okay, so if anybody wants to know about how you can get that brochure, because you can download it for free or buy it in bulk, she'll be in the
ask
back
Terry.
Of the room.
Ask Terry.
Okay. Okay, so Wes, we have time for one more?
Yeah, sure.
We have time for a couple more.
Well, okay. What kind of time do we have?
We have 15 minutes.
Well, what 10 minutes ago he said we were...
Oh,
okay.
Just a basic commentary on the session.
Keep going.
We're running out of chocolate.
Okay.
Who answered that last one?
I think it was me.
What would you like next, honey?
Okay. I'll take wild card for 40.
Now that we've gotten past the Declaration of Independence, this is the concern when the daughter is present with the mother and directs the attorney's actions. Be quiet. What concern do you have?
What is undue influence?
Very good.
You have to be careful when you have somebody else in the room, even if the client has consented to that person's presence, because it's very hard for you to determine whether that person's presence is unduly influencing the individual. You don't know what kind of conversation's gone on before, what kind of threats have happened, and so you've got to be really careful. Undue influence, are any of you seeing more undue influence cases than you used to? Okay, so I look at cases every week for the NALA e-bulletin, and I will tell you there's more and more litigation based upon undue influence. So you need to have a process and follow that process in your practices so that if it ever happens, you can say, this is what I do. And so take a look at that ABA brochure. It might give you some ideas about how you can make sure that you're taking the necessary steps. Okay, so
Brynn?
It's a party for 40.
It's a party. All right.